Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Ray Hynes, joined here with Blythe. Hey, Blythe.
Hey, Dr. Ray, how's everything going in your neck of the woods?
Awesome, over here, as usual. How about you?
Everything's amazing. Thanks for asking.
Great. All right, well, today's topic is what?
Today's topic is a great one. We're going to be talking about three ways to reverse aging while losing weight.
Right, so here's the premise. There are weight loss strategies that can age you, right? If we were to say, let's just starve ourselves, for example, that process is very stressful to the body. That is an aging kind of strategy, something that will work. It will cause you to lose quote unquote weight, but your body isn't going to feel younger. Your body isn't going to feel energetic. It isn't going to be strong. You're actually going to lose muscle mass, which is one of the hallmarks of aging. People lose muscle mass in a process called sarcopenia. Mm-hmm. So there are things that we can do from our lifestyle that will ultimately cause weight loss, but will ultimately age us. And the opposite is true. There are ways that we can lose weight while simultaneously making ourselves feel and look younger.
Yes.
Now, one of the benefits of having a lifestyle that actually promotes youthfulness and rejuvenation is that it seems to trigger the production of one of the body's most powerful anti-aging hormones, which is, of course,
growth hormone.
That's right. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is basically three strategies or three ways to improve our lifestyle in such a way that promotes growth hormone production. Now, a lot of these strategies that we'll discuss throughout this program, and you know, you and I both know that as we do this, it has a tendency to go from 3 to 4 to 6 to 10 strategies.
So we get a little chatty. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, as you go through these strategies, the point is some of this stuff, if not most of this stuff, you've probably heard us discuss before. Why? Because you and I both take the stance that a healthy body ultimately develops a healthy body composition.
That's correct. Yes. Huge believer in that. And creating your natural production of growth hormone, or stimulating it so you're producing a little bit more, is kind of the fountain of youth. I mean, you see it all over the place, but how do we get there? How do we do it?
And certainly aging itself will cause our body to lower the amount of growth hormone that we produce. Right. It's just an artifact of aging. Now, you know, if you're 90 years old and listening to this podcast, first off, kudos to you. But number two,
right?
You know, your growth hormone levels probably will not reach the levels of a 21-year-old, even when you do everything right. So as we get older, our levels will naturally drop, but they drop dramatically more than they need to because our lifestyle is suffering. And when we have a poor lifestyle, growth hormone levels are in the pit. And there is this zone in which we can actually have a dramatic effect on how much growth hormone we manufacture. So if right now you're producing 50% of what you should be, you can get that 50% back by doing the right lifestyle things.
Right. And some of the easy things, and I'm just going to kind of dive in here. Some of the easy things that you can phase out would be smoking cigarettes, staying up late and drinking every night. You know, some of the obvious things.
High starch, high sugar diets have a tendency to really lower growth hormone levels. Stressing right? yourself out of your mind will have a tendency to have a negative effect there.
Right. Being dehydrated is another one.
Right.
You know?
So those are all just very easy things to implement or to change about our lifestyle. They're the obvious stuff, the stuff that we all know makes us feel terrible. And this is one reason why it does, because it impacts how much of these important hormones we can manufacture. And by the way, it's very important to point out that no hormone in the body functions independently of everything else.
Right.
When you impact one hormone, for example, growth hormone, the tendency is to see a balancing effect in other hormones as well, like insulin levels, like testosterone, like estrogen, and so forth.
Right. And our bodies are great at seeking homeostasis. So it always wants to be in balance. So if we're being on the farther end of the healthy lifestyle, so if we're treating ourselves in an unhealthy way for several weeks at a time, you're going to notice that your body is still trying to balance out, but it's not going to be in a positive way. It's almost like a domino effect is how I like to describe it to people. You know, if you're out of whack here, your body's going to try to seek balance, and you're going to end out of whack over here on the other side.
Right, right. So
let's bring the dominoes back up. Let's do the opposite.
Right. So even though we're talking about growth hormone, just know that we're talking about other hormones as well that will just fall into place as you make some of these lifestyle changes. Now, before we get into those suggestions, first, let me just tell you in as brief and simple a way as possible exactly what growth hormone is. So growth hormone is a hormone that is manufactured in the body in pulses throughout the day. Most of that growth hormone, as we'll talk about, will be manufactured while you're sleeping. But there are these pulses of growth hormone that occur, and those pulses can be stimulated by certain things that we do. So the benefits of growth hormone are that it rejuvenates tissues. It causes certain tissues to grow and certain tissues to shrink, specifically muscle to grow and fat to shrink. It is a hormone that is very fat unfriendly. It triggers lipolysis. It triggers the breakdown, or at least accelerates the breakdown of fats within the body.
And that's what we're looking for.
Right. Yes, exactly. And in addition, you know, no discussion about fat loss is complete without a discussion on muscle gain and muscle strengthening. Why? Because we want more lean tissue in our body, because that also accelerates the fat loss process. That's more of the long game, right, Blythe?
Yes.
Not so much the short-term game, which is the lipolysis that occurs. It's the long game. It is the more muscle tissue we have, the more energy we burn, and the less fat we'll store.
Right. Very simply put.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into the three. I'll start with the first one.
Okay.
And then you kind of just jump in with your thoughts. Sound good?
Yeah, will do.
So the first thing that we need to do to really trigger the hormone balance, and specifically the release of growth hormone, is to exercise for fat loss. Now, let me just explain what I mean by that, because you can exercise for many things. You can exercise specifically for muscle gain. You can exercise for fat loss. You can exercise for endurance. You know, if you want to run a marathon,
right?
Believe this, when you're training for a marathon, you are not exercising for fat loss.
Yes.
And that's confusing to a lot of people, because they believe, oh, it's endurance, it's cardio. It must help burn fat. But we've talked about this numerous times on the show. Kind of explain that. One thing that I have noticed is that people who are marathoners, not everybody, I mean, obviously there are thin, there are fit, there are even muscular marathoners, but for the most part, marathoners have a tendency to have, if we were to look at their body fat percentages, they're not as lean as we believe them to be.
Right. I completely agree with you. I've worked with a lot of clients in the past, and mainly females, who have started training for a marathon, and I help them get their nutrition right, and they end up putting weight on during this time. And even though they're running, you know, 13 miles two or three times a week, and continuously increasing that, you know, it almost sounds right in your mind to say, well, you know, calories in versus calories out, I'm going to lose weight doing this. But that's not how it works. Cardiovascular exercise is for heart health and endurance.
Right. And there are compensatory mechanisms within the body that fight any kind of caloric loss. So that's the problem. And remember this, we always say eat and exercise to impact our hormones, not to manage calories. So if you're thinking in terms of I'm going to exercise to burn this many calories, that's the wrong way to think. Think in terms of what type of hormonal messages am I sending with this exercise. So what types of exercises or exercise routines would we recommend that would be fat loss focused and growth hormone friendly?
Okay. I would say high intensity interval training or HIIT training is a great one. And when doing this, I usually tell my clients to incorporate some sort of resistance while doing the high intensity interval training. So you're not just going outside and running sprints. You're adding some sort of, maybe one of your intervals is push-ups as fast as you can for 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and then you take a break. So there's some sort of resistance that's happening while you're in that high intensity mode, allowing your heart rate to come back down before you bust out the next interval.
Right. So, you know, we call that, you know, metabolic resistance training, for example, where the goal of the resistance training is to trigger that type of hormonal response to really start manufacturing this growth hormone. And so basically we'll separate those two. We'll say metabolic resistance training and high intensity interval training, because both will impact our growth hormone levels in a big way. In fact, probably bigger than any other recommendation that we can make. Because every time we do that type of intense exercise or activity, you'll get an immediate pulse of growth hormone into the body. And then you'll get additional pulses of growth hormone while you're sleeping that night, which we'll get into very shortly. So when we're talking about metabolic resistance training, here are the key points. Number one, you want to work the big muscle groups. Which are they? Kind of throw out the big muscle groups for us.
Legs and back.
Legs, back, chest.
Core. Core. Chest, another one.
Right.
Yep.
So what we don't want to do is walk into a gym and
just train your triceps.
Yes,
or your calves. Right.
Right. And unfortunately, a lot of us want to do that. We want to walk in. Why? Because it's easy. It's not as difficult to pick up and do some arm curls.
Right. Your legs are half your body. The amount of energy that it takes to train your legs is ginormous.
That's right. And it also, by the way, most of the insulin sensitivity that you get from your muscle mass actually comes from your leg muscles because of the, not just the mass that's there, the amount of muscle that's there, but also the fact that the more muscle you have in your legs, the more insulin receptors you'll have in your body. So insulin sensitivity is very much focused on lower extremity exercise.
Very
so
cool.
The big muscles, number one, more muscles, the more muscle groups you work, in addition to the muscle size that you choose to work, the more benefit you'll get to growth hormone as well. So we want to work the big muscles and we want to work as many different muscle groups as we can in the single workout.
Okay, cool. So you could do like an upper ab exercise, a lower ab exercise, and some core along with your leg workout.
Right. Right.
Okay,
and so, and
cool.
then you
or
could,
plank or something.
And with metabolic resistance training, it's not uncommon to work all of the muscle groups, the entire body in one exercise session.
So almost like a hardcore circuit type of training.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, awesome.
And and then finally, the final ingredient to doing metabolic resistance training correctly is to shorten the rests in between the sets. So you could either do sets that you're working the upper body and then working the lower body with no rest. Mm-hmm. You know, so you go from working chest work to working leg work to working back work to working leg work to working core. You know, so you're really not resting in between the sets, or you're not resting the one specific muscle group at that time.
Okay.
Or you could just do very short rest. With most of the research suggesting 30 to 60 seconds of rest is going to give you the best result as far as triggering the manufacture of growth hormone.
Gotcha. Perfect.
So, you know, when we're working out for for muscle mass, and this goes back to why are you exercising? If we're working out for muscle mass, it's not uncommon to do 2 or 3 minute rests in between the sets, because that gives your muscle an opportunity to remanufacture the ATP that fuels that movement. But with metabolic resistance training, where the goal is growth hormone production and weight loss or fat loss, then those short rests actually trigger a stress to the system that causes a lot of these good fat burning molecules to be produced.
Yes.
Okay. So the second one on the list, once
number
I
two.
Get my notes up here, is the opposite of what we just talked about.
Okay.
And that is rest and sleep.
Yes. So important. And I think this is one that kind of falls under the category of, yeah, I'll get to that later. You know, we get so busy with all these things we want to do and achieve and accomplish throughout the day that, you know, by the time you get home and do the dishes, you cook the food, you know, whatever you do, you end up breaking into your allocated sleep time. And I think that's a big key point for a lot of people, is allocating sleep time. I know that there's a little thing on my phone that has a bedtime, and there's actually an alarm that reminds me when it's 15 minutes before I need to get ready for bed, because I'm really trying to stick to that.
It's so important. It's so important on many levels. But if we're going to focus our discussion just on the discussion about growth hormone, we talked about how growth hormone is pulsatile. So it pulses throughout the day. During the day, believe it or not, your growth hormone levels are almost undetectable.
Okay.
It's at night when we're sleeping that they really start to kick up, because your body is using that sleep time when you're not in the hustle and bustle of everyday function to rejuvenate itself, to repair damage, and to stimulate fat loss. So if growth hormone is one of its main roles is to stimulate fat metabolism, the reason is because you're fasting while you sleep. So that's one reason why your body really is focused on fat burning, and why growth hormone plays such an important role. And in medicine, you'll see these types of multi-level effects of hormones. They don't just do one thing. They do many things. With growth hormone, stimulates the muscles to get stronger and larger. It also simultaneously stimulates repair and rejuvenation of other tissues and organs. It helps to allow us to reach a deeper sleep so that we feel more rested when we wake up. And then finally, you know, we talked about its fat loss effects as well.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about that in a previous podcast before, as you mentioned, but we burn more fat during the times that we sleep than we do, for instance, exercising. So you might be on the elliptical thinking, oh yeah, I just burned 400 calories. This is awesome. I'm a fat burning machine. But that fat isn't burned until you're sleeping in bed. So allow your body the time and the opportunity to be able to take advantage of that.
Right. You know, we have a tendency to use sugar for fuel when we're doing activities that require a lot of energy. And as we do the things that require very little energy, the body relies primarily on fat storage. Well, what activity requires a fairly small amount of energy? Sleeping.
Sleeping.
And because you're in a fasted state, the body will shift towards fat release more during the time, but only if the growth hormone levels peak in the way that we want it to peak. Now, there does appear to be a time or a sleep time that seems to promote the most growth hormone production. And that seems to be, and it probably varies, give or take an hour or so from person to person, but it seems as though it averages out to be about 11 p.m. If we can get to bed by 11, 11:30, we'll allow our body to manufacture an extra jolt of growth hormone. If you can't do that, you'll still get the growth hormone production if you follow our next third and final tip for this podcast. And why don't we jump into that? The third and final tip, can you guess it?
Nutrition.
And specifically, fasting as a nutrition strategy.
Oh, intermittent fasting. Yes.
Yes. So, and maybe we'll touch on the nutrition aspect of things as well, because there are definitely things that we can do. There are definitely foods that we eat and avoid eating that can impact our growth hormone. But the first nutrition strategy is to stop eating 3 hours before bed. So this is a pre-sleep fast.
This is a great guideline. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think this is a key point for a lot of people listening, because people ask all the time, when is the latest I should eat dinner? 3 hours before is the absolute latest, correct?
Yeah. So it depends on how fit you are. You know, for somebody who's a Blythe Allberg of the world, you could probably get away with 2 hours before bed without any kind of consequence, because your insulin levels will probably normalize sooner than the average bear. But for a lot of us who are weekend warriors who don't work out a lot and have a really active, physically active lifestyle, you may need to back it up a little bit. You know, 3 hours will work for most people, so that's generally the recommendation we make. And sometimes people got to stop, especially people who have a lot of insulin resistance or who are diabetic, need to try to get as close to the dinner time fast as possible. So after dinner, the goal would be in people with insulin resistance to try to push back that fasting period as long as you can, because your body's insulin levels may not normalize as quickly as somebody else's. So this goes back to that discussion we talked about, how growth hormone and other hormones kind of work together and can battle each other as well. Insulin and growth hormone are not friends. They hate each other. They're like Jerry Seinfeld and Newman, you know?
I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, so insulin's like Seinfeld's Newman.
Okay.
They hate each other. And when one's in the room, the other one leaves. So with growth hormone, if you're going to bed with really high insulin levels, your growth hormones are going to what?
Not coming around.
Right. They're going to plummet, right?
Yeah. You know, something I wanted to ask before we jump to this part, because I think that people will benefit, and I truly do want to know, say you're a super fit person or even just a very active person, would it benefit you to stop eating 5 or 6 hours before bedtime?
It could. Now, think in terms of, you know, when we're talking about, let's go back to that person, that client of yours who was running marathons. And by the way, I've tested the metabolism of people who decided to go and be marathoners, not people who naturally are prone towards running marathons, but people who said, I'm going to run a marathon to help lose weight. And their metabolisms were worse than some of the 80-year-old women that I've tested in the past.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy because they're just eroding their muscle mass. Either they don't have the genetics to maintain their muscle during long stints of cardio, or their body just eats up their muscle so easily because they're starved, right? They're not eating sufficient quantities during.
Yeah.
And my good friend Dr. Jade Tita, who wrote the book Lose Weight Here, one of the tenets of that book was eat more, exercise more. Eat less, exercise less. So, or the opposite. So if you exercise a little, then you're going to want to eat less. If you're exercising a lot, you're going to want to eat more. So the idea is oftentimes to combine a calorie deficit through food with a calorie burn from exercise. But his suggestion is no. If you exercise a lot, then you're going to want to eat more food to account for that. Because
that's just natural.
Right. Well, it's not natural thinking, but you're right.
No.
It's natural for the body and the brain to want to do that. And it's kind of
like having a car and filling up your gas tank. I mean, if you're going to drive far, you need to put a lot of fuel in. If you're just going here and there and running errands around town, you don't need much. It's kind of the same thing.
Which then takes us back to your original question, which is, if you're super fit and super active, can you fast for extended periods of time? Can you fast from dinner through bedtime? And the answer is, of course, maybe. If you're sending the wrong signals to the body, if you're really, truly physically active all day long, and then you start fasting from dinner time, it's possible you could send stress signals to the body. So you've got to kind of take it and maybe test it out and see what happens.
Right. So you don't want to be left feeling starving at midnight or wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning starving, that would be a good signal that your body's giving you that you've just been fasting too long.
Exactly. Okay. And the other question we need to ask is, will this have a negative effect on our results? And in somebody who's really physically active, and let's say a fitness athlete or just an athlete in general who's working out a lot and doing a lot of activity throughout the day, it may be that, you know, fasting 2 hours before bed is all that they need. Fasting 4 or 5 hours before bed has no additional benefit for them. But for the most part, you know, just think in terms of how physically active am I? How much muscle mass do I have on my body? And base it on that. So if you're trying to burn fat and you are extremely physically active, then think in terms of maybe 2-3 hours before bed, stop eating. If you're trying to gain muscle, that's probably not the right solution for you. You might need to have another snack a little bit later in the evening.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Cool. Okay.
All right. So let's kind of just sum things up, because I do want to jump a little bit back to an original point, which was this whole concept of resting. With growth hormone and with hormones in general, the way you kind of recover that growth hormone production is through exposure to extremes.
Okay.
And so if we're doing metabolic resistance training, we're really working out hard and heavy. You know, these full body workouts, they're no joke. They take a lot of focus and effort, right?
Yeah. You know, I just started a new type of class. It's called MX4. It's kind of like an Orange Theory class. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. We do a lot of stuff with a heavy medicine ball, basically using your entire body for the whole 40 minutes. And you're beat afterwards.
Right. And that's an extreme that triggers hormones. And my guess is that people who do those types of workouts get good results.
Yes.
If they're doing all the other things, because, you know, with exercise, you know, you can get results if the rest of your lifestyle is good. But if you leave that workout and then you go have an entire
nachos and
cake,
queso.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Then the answer is, you know, it's going to be a lot of effort for very little return or no return at all.
You can't outrun your fork.
Right. But the extremes, by the way, go the other way. Direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
Without the rest, you don't get the benefit. Okay.
That's
so
correct.
With the growth hormone, remember that most of the growth hormone you're going to manufacture is during the rest period. It's in between workouts. So you cannot just keep pushing and expect to get the result we're looking for. So you've got to alternate between extremes of activity, of physical activity, and extremes of rest.
Yes.
Allow your body the freedom to repair and rejuvenate. And it will only happen if you allow yourself that time to recover. So if you're doing these types of really heavy workouts, it's not a good idea generally to do them every single day.
Right. Yes. And you can kind of reap the rewards of all that hard work if you do allow yourself to rest. And I think that's a hard concept for people to grasp until they hear somebody tell them, you need to rest.
Or it's okay to rest, right?
It's okay to rest. Yes, even better.
All right. So that's our discussion. I hope people got some good golden nuggets out of that.
Yeah, growth hormone's always a great topic, I think. If you guys have any questions or you want to post something up on Cut the Fat Facebook page, we would love to answer. You can shoot us a message. I know both you and I are pretty good at getting back to people.
We'd love to hear how you know, if you implement some of these strategies, how it's impacted your results, if at all. So, you know, if you say, okay, you know what, I listened to you guys and I'm starting to go to bed a little bit earlier and I've noticed this, or I started fasting before bed and I'm waking up more rejuvenated and refreshed, like I'm actually getting sleep, which is a big change from what it used to be. So those types of things are things that people do report. We want to hear what kinds of reports you guys have.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So yeah, shoot us a message. Cut the Fat Podcast is our Facebook page. You can also find us on Twitter at Cut the Fat Podcast. Oh, CTF Podcast.
Yep,
that's right. And you can also check out our new Cut the Fat Coaching Club if you go to www.cutthefatpodcast.com. A little blurb will pop up and you can enter your email address. So when we do end up launching this fun coaching club, you will be notified.
Right. So it doesn't matter when you're listening. We're going to be doing this in pulses, if you will, because
yes.
we want to be able to serve the people that join. So when you're listening to this, it may be that we're in the middle of opening it up for folks again, or it might be closed for now. So you'll just end up getting on the waiting list. So when we do open it again, bam, you'll get notified.
Awesome.
All right.
I'm so looking forward to this. I'm so looking forward to working with some of our listeners.
Awesome. Okay, guys, that's it
Thanks,
for today.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye.